To the book this evening. We continue looking at this series of growing in Christ and bearing fruit in Christ, and we have been considering the arena of the church, the people of God, the local congregation has been our main focal point. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, our text is the end of verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, we'll read this whole section, but that's the text that we're going to be looking at together this evening. Hear now the reading of God's very word. Verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank You that even though You are the King and the Creator of the universe, the ruler of all, even though the angels constantly bowing down, praising You and adoring You, that yet You were willing to leave the glories of heaven and come in the fullness of time and take on flesh in the virgin's womb. That You didn't cease to be God, but You also took on human nature, both fully God and fully man in one person forever, for the purpose of laying down Your life as our Redeemer. And Lord, we thank You that death could not hold You. We thank You that You have been raised from the dead, and because You humbled Yourself even to the point of death, that the Father has highly exalted You and given You a name that is above every name, that at Your name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And Lord, we rejoice that You are at work causing people to come alive spiritually and bow before You, Lord Jesus, to the saving of our souls, to the transforming of our lives under Your mighty hand. Lord, we thank You that someday every knee will bow. And Lord, those of us who in this life have, by Your grace, loved and adored You and embraced You in simple childlike faith, Lord, that day will be a day of unspeakable joy for us. And we look forward to that day. Lord, those that have labored the futile war of rebellion against you in this life, they also will bow, but it will be to their terror. And Lord, in utter dread, as you cast them away from your presence into eternal hell. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would give to us a clear understanding of what it looks like to be followers of the Lamb this night. And that you would give us joy to be servants. You would give us great joy to clothe ourselves with humility. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, in our text this evening, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we have in this section where the Apostle Peter is closing now in his first epistle, arguments about God's people living as pilgrims, as citizens of heaven in a fallen world for the purpose of seeing the place where he has put his people captured for the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole book of 1 Peter gives practical everyday instructions, reminding God's people that it is by the grace of God that we belong to Jesus, that we love him even though we have not seen him, and that this life of following Jesus is not an easy path in this life. It is a good path. It is a glorious path. It has many blessings in it, but it is also a path where we see trials and testing and suffering. And so instructions about how God's people are to suffer as Christians is one of the major themes in 1 Peter. And it is not a depressing thing. It is not something that causes God's people to be discouraged, but it gives us instruction about the reality of living in a hostile, fallen world that we might see victory in Jesus in our own hearts, and we might be used of him as he sees fit to pursue the spiritual struggle that is going on all around us to see the name of Jesus lifted high. In this context, he comes at the end of this epistle talking about the place of under-shepherds. And we see that in verses 1 through verse 5 of 1 Peter 5, that God has appointed under-shepherds to gather the sheep in the name of the Lord Jesus, preaching his gospel, inviting people to come to Christ, to embrace him and become a part of his fold in the Lord Jesus, and then to nurture and feed and care for God's lambs, feeding God's people the word of Holy Scripture that focuses on the person and work of Christ. And we see instructions to these under-shepherds and to God's people. And in that context, he calls upon, in verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders, to your elders. And then a general instruction that all of us are to clothe ourselves. And it's interesting language here. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. Now, many times when you go to a restaurant, you will see people wearing a particular outfit, signifying that they are a server. And I'll never forget going, I don't remember what restaurant I was in, but I had worn dark pants and a white shirt. And I bet I was asked 15 times that evening if I would go and get people more French fries or something, because I was wearing the garb, the outfit, the uniform that all of the other servers in the restaurant were wearing. And I said, well, I'd be happy to go get you some, but I don't work here. Oh, I'm sorry. And so, you know, they got me mixed up. Well, God's people are signified, are noted. We have a uniform that we wear. Now, it's not the particular clothes that we wear, but this passage focuses on how one of the characteristics by which you can recognize a child of God is they are clothed with humility. And in that sense, all God's people ought to be dressed alike in that sense. Look at the verse again. Clothe yourselves, all of you. Here's this picture that the clothing that we ought to wear, the thing that we ought to think of putting on, if you will, a role that God has called us to play. And so we're going to wear a uniform. And the uniform is not physical clothes, but it is the way we treat the people around us. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so if we would clothe ourselves in humility, the first thing is that we need to have a heart that is delivered from pride. Humility, having a humble heart, is the opposite of pride. And pride is that we are self-centered and self-focused. And we think that the most important thing is self. Well, the source of us clothing ourselves with humility toward one another is to be humble before God, to know the mercies of Jesus Christ. And so as we humble ourselves, therefore, as verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. You see, the world says, forget everybody else. You need to put yourself forward and you need to do your own thing. But the Christian, by the grace of God, has come to see that God is the one that we delight to bow before and worship and serve and love. That His ways, His Word, we submit ourselves to Him. It's amazing. I had the opportunity of sharing the gospel with a dear man who was not a Christian soon after I came here to Tazewell. And it was about 25 years later that this man called me up one night, and for the first time in all those years that I had known him, he said, "Brother Henry." Now, he called me Henry, but he had never called me Brother Henry. And my heart leaped for joy. I thought, could it be? And he told me, he said, "Last night I got down on my knees and cried out to the Lord Jesus for forgiveness." And he said, I was just calling to tell you and see if you thought it might be okay if I came to church tomorrow. Well, of course, I just leaped for joy. But isn't it interesting? He said, "I got down on my knees." And later that week, when I talked to him more, he came to the worship service, and he indeed was a changed man by the grace of God. But as I talked to him, he said, "You know, I look back," he said, "how foolish I've been all these years." He said, I've just been stubborn. He said, "I've been prideful. I've just been trusting in myself. I didn't want
to trust in Jesus.
Well, you see, becoming a Christian is confessing Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you made me. Jesus, you are the one that I depend upon for everything. Jesus, you died on the cross for me, and I can't save myself. Lord Jesus, I'm reaching out the empty beggar's hand of faith and taking you to be my Redeemer. You see, that is the source, the only source of true humility toward one another is for us to experience conversion, to experience coming to bow before the living God and glory in Him. And that's what we see in our text. Look at verse 5. Again, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. What a picture. The fist of God or the open gracious hand of God. The proud, those who are arrogant, those who would be self-sufficient and say, I do not need God. I do not need His gospel. I do not need His word. I am self-sufficient. God is opposed to the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. To be humble before Almighty God is the testimony that God has been gracious to us. And those who would humble themselves, God pours out upon us grace upon grace upon grace. And so, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. And so, we either are going to be pursuing our own agenda, turning our back on the Lord Jesus for the purpose of us accomplishing our goals in life and attaining a position or possessions or those things that the world says, now here is what life is all about. No, a Christian turns to Jesus and we give ourselves to Him. We humble ourselves before Him, casting ourselves upon Him. And He gives us forgiveness and peace and life and blessing and adoption, and all of the blessings and all of the promises that God has in store for His people, even calling us joint heirs with Christ. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And here we have this a startling declaration by the Lord Jesus that those who would attain life for self and in self and by self, they end up losing everything. But those who humble themselves and bow before the Lord Jesus and give everything to Him, Lord, my sin, take my sin. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, take me. I'm yours. I am not my own. That person has everything. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And He, Jesus, said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his very soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you, truly there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come. And so we could go back through Holy Scripture and look at many examples of the devastation that comes when people refuse to humble themselves, when they refuse to give self to the living God. We see that in Genesis 3, where we see the tempter, Satan himself. And what do we know about Satan? Well, the New Testament tells us that Satan at one time was one of the archangels. And what happened? Well, he was puffed up with pride and thought that he could overthrow Almighty God, his Creator. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, an elder must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. You see, Satan, he was puffed up with pride. But God's people, by the grace of God, we come to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am fallen in Adam. I've broken all of your commandments. Lord Jesus, wash my sins away. We could look at example after example throughout the history of God's people. The book of Judges, what a sad testimony. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. You see, these people were puffed up with pride instead of clothing themselves with humility in the Lord Jesus Christ. They walked in their own ways, and it was destruction and chaos. The children of Israel, they've been delivered from bondage in Egypt. And what is their favorite national pastime? Football? No. It was murmuring and complaining against the living God. It was saying, oh, we would have been better off to have stayed in Egypt and died as slaves. At least we had good food to eat. Oh, what pride and arrogance, what unbelief does. We have manna and quail in the context of God's people murmuring. We have the refusal to go in and take the promised land. Arrogance and unbelief. We have Korah's rebellion. Or will people trust and obey the Lord Jesus? Who is the priest that God has appointed to bring us near to God? We have Aaron's rod that budded. We have thirst and water coming from the rock. God's people more grumbling, and serpents are turned loose. On and on we could go. The kings of Judah, God told them, if my people who are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So pride is a deadly thing, and God calls upon us as His people to clothe ourselves with humility. And it begins with us humbling ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. What a sweet thing it is to be one of Jesus' little lambs. I mean, it is so sweet. When we are trusting Jesus, we can be in the midst of the most bizarre and fierce storms. And when we are humble before the living God, oh, what joy and what peace we have to just be resting in the Lord Jesus. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. So that's the source of this humility. And what does it look like then to clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility? Well, our call to worship this evening was in Philippians. And if you'll turn back with me to Philippians 2, we see in this passage God calling upon us to look to Jesus. That Jesus is the one who is the example par excellence of one who humbled himself. And if we know him, we have a heart that not only is reconciled with the living God, but we have then the path and the example and the motivation and the force that is turned loose in us. Christ himself coming and living in us, causing us to want to show humility toward one another. Look at verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, or which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, this is the mindset Jesus had, and this is the mindset that the Christian has. And so what is it? Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, even though he was God, he did not take advantage of that fact. He didn't leverage the truth. I'm God, therefore you ought to bow down to me. He could have, but he did not. But he emptied himself. Now, it doesn't mean he ceased to be God, but he laid aside that obvious glory that he was indeed God in the flesh. Many people around him, as a matter of fact, most people around him, did not recognize who he was. Why? Because he took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so in due time, God did highly exalt him. He has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Well, let's go back now and look at what this being clothed with humility looks like in our practice. Here we are. We don't work in a restaurant, but we do have a uniform on. And it is the way we treat one another. Because Jesus has treated us with such kindness and compassion and care and humility, it moves us to show his care, his kindness, his compassion to those around us. Look at Philippians 2, verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. And so what does it look like to clothe yourself with the humility? Well, one of the things we see here is we're going to be thinking about others rather than ourselves. What others need, what others want, what would be for the benefit of others. We will have a servant's heart. That's what it looks like to clothe yourself with humility. It's like you can picture yourself in your own family, in the body of Christ, the bigger family of God's people. We are there to wait on tables. We're there to serve. We're there to help the people around us. That's what God says clothing ourselves with humility looks like. And why do we want to do this? Why do we want to think, now what does my brother or my sister need? Because God has given His Son. Jesus could have sat up in heaven It would have been a whole lot more fun than to come and be born in a family. He had at least five brothers and sisters. He was the perfect Son of God in the flesh, and they were all sinners. Wow. Talk about humility. The Lord Jesus submitted Himself to Mary and Joseph, and they were sinners saved by the grace of God. And He was the perfect Lamb of God. Talk about humility. And the Lord Jesus loved. He loved and He served. He thought about, what do my brother and sisters need? How can I show honor to my earthly parents? The Lord Jesus, He is the one who moves us to think of others rather than self. Look at verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant, more important than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. What are the needs of the people around us? And that's something we need to get in the habit of doing. You need to think, what does my wife need? What does my husband need? What do my children need? What does my mama and daddy need? What does my friend need? What does my brother and sister in this congregation need? Lord, give me a servant's heart. Lord, help me to think of others rather than self. It involves doing deeds of kindness. Making your bed for your brother. Have you ever made your bed for your brother or your sister? No. Wow. That'd be something, wouldn't it? You may have chores divided up in your home. You go and do one of the chores for your brother or your sister just to surprise them, because you know maybe they've had a hard time in school, or maybe they ended up getting in trouble and got a spanking, and you're kind of, sad. And you think, now what could I do to help them? Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility as we think about the needs one of another. The Lord Jesus calls upon us to be those who are serving. Look, each of you, not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. It involves using our time. Using our time. Using our energy to minister to those around us. And so as we think about living the gospel and bearing fruit for Jesus, what joy we have. In the book of Acts, we have the testimony of a lady. Her name was Dorcas. And I want you to turn with me. We have this sweet testimony of this lady. Well, we don't have time to look at it, but you can look and just be thinking of the people. Barnabas, he was called the son of encouragement. You know why? Because he had the habit of encouraging the people around him, of being a servant. We clothe ourselves with humility by praying for one another, thinking about the things that we can do to help one another, coming alongside one another in our church family, in our own homes. That's what it looks like. And so what kind of uniform do you wear? You know, day in, day out. Are you wearing the uniform that Jesus has assigned to His people? And you can think about waiting on tables in God's house. No, it's not a restaurant. No, we're not going to all have the same color pants and shirt on. But all of us for Jesus' sake, we want to clothe ourselves with humility one to another. And of course, when we look at this and think about this, all of us have to say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for the many times that I haven't had your uniform on. Forgive me, Lord, for the many times that I have been selfish and self-centered. I haven't thought about those around me. Lord Jesus, like you have commanded and like you have given yourself for me, Lord Jesus, please grow me to have more of a servant's heart. And then when we do have opportunity, may the Lord continue to bless us to serve for Jesus' sake, that God would be praised. You know, God is the one. Look back in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll just end with this. In verse 10, and several weeks ago we looked at verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as the one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so that's why we want to do this. It's because we want God to be praised. We want the people around us to love Jesus more if they are Christians. If they're not, we want them to come to know Jesus. But our joy is to clothe ourselves, all of us, with humility one to another. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would deliver us from self-centeredness, selfishness. Lord, we live in a culture where selfishness and self-centeredness is highly practiced. Lord, we want to be lovers of you. Lord Jesus, you gave yourself for us, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless us. Lord, how I thank you for your people who do love one another. May it grow, Lord. Lord, I thank you for each family in this congregation. Lord, please bless us to continue to share and show the love of Jesus, to have a servant's heart, to clothe ourselves with humility one to another. For Jesus' sake, because you are our Savior, Lord Jesus, because we love you, Lord, because you are worthy, Lord, please stir us up and grow us even to bear more fruit, better fruit for your praise in our church family, in our own homes, so that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name.